Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft podcast, and we are full steam ahead to week 12, which is insane. The last week of FCS football, second to last week, really, of regular season ball in the FBS level. Then you'll get into conference championships and Army-Navy and bowl season and college football playoff and all of that stuff. We're presented by BetOnline. You guys know by now, if you like to make a wager, BetOnline.ag is the place to do it. Just make sure you use that promo code PODCAST1 so that you get a 50% welcome sign-up bonus, which is awesome. He's Fran Duffy, the only two-time winner. No, that's Steve Fezzik on the Even Money podcast. The only video scouting guru for the Philadelphia Eagles that we have each and every week. You also can check him out on Twitter at FDuffy3 and see all the other stuff that Fran has going. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter and Instagram, former NFL offensive lineman. Last week I had Penn State, Wisconsin. We'll get into that, Fran. This week I have Miami, Virginia Tech, a couple of very, very disappointing teams, but there's still always some talent on both those squads. Speaking of that, Fran, what was the biggest game that you kind of dug into on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of really good ones, but the game that I really watched the most closely, Ross, was the one that actually started the day with the noon games. And that was Florida versus South Carolina in the Swamp. You know, this game really, truly just went back and forth. Early on, it was all Gamecocks. You know, they marched right down the field on the first two drives of the game. The quarterback, Jake Bentley, made it really look easy. I mean, there were busted coverages by the Gators. Guys were wide open on a couple of those plays. Receivers were making plays. Real quick, it was 14-0, very little resistance from the Florida defense, but it did not stay that way. Florida marched back mostly with the run game. You know, they erased that 14-point lead in the first half. Then after halftime, South Carolina jumps out again by 17 in the second half, but Florida erased that deficit, and they end up coming back to win the game. It was a really fun one to watch. There were a lot of guys that I really want to talk about on both sides here. So let's start with the Gators. Let's start with the quarterback, Felipe Franks, who was really just been under fire going into that game. You know, Gator fans, local media, he was pretty close to getting benched by head coach Dan Mullen. You know, and in this game, I thought he was pretty sloppy as a passer. He was getting booed early and deservedly so. I thought he was erratic. His ball placement was really bad. He missed a couple wide open receivers. But he did bounce back with some physical runs in this game, and that was kind of the story of his day, honestly. He ran like he had something to prove. He ended up getting the game-sealing touchdown for the Gators in this game late. But, you know, Florida had two other 100-yard rushers in this game. And we'll start with Jordan Scarlett, the redshirt junior, who he's kind of the hammer for the Gators downhill between the tackles. He ran really hard in this game. When he's square to the line of scrimmage, he's very tough to bring down when he gets to the second level. He went for almost 160. He looked really good downhill, particularly in the second half. And then LaMichael Pirine, he went for 100 as well. And while he's not really like a true lightning to Scarlett's thunder, he's pretty close. I mean, he had a really impressive touchdown run in this game where he made a couple of guys miss at the second level. Up front, I thought the right side of that Florida offensive line really just crushed South Carolina. And the guy that I had my eyes on closely there was Jawan Taylor, the junior right tackle. He was penalized a few times in this game, so that's a little bit of an issue. But overall, that kid really showed out in that game. Big kid, looks the part. He's got some athleticism to him. He's been starting since his true freshman year. He's certainly a guy to watch moving forward. The guy that really impressed me for the Gators in this game, though, was the sophomore utility man, Kadarius Toney. You know, we've never really talked about him on this show, but Ross, this kid's got some juice. He had a terrible play on a punt return. I believe it was in the first half where he muffed the return. Debo Samuel recovered it for South Carolina, but he bounced back in a big way. You know, Dan Mullen, after the game, kind of compared him to Percy Harvin with how he was used because of his speed. He caught a touchdown on a wide receiver screen where he just went from 0 to 100 in a flash. You know, he's got that instant speed. He had a couple of really impressive plays out in space in this game, and he's certainly a name to watch for the future as well. On Florida's defense, Ja'Kai Polite, the pass rusher, really flashed in this game. You know, he's got that explosive first step. He's got freaky flexibility, the ability to turn the corner effortlessly. Seems to have a pretty well-developed pass rush plan. He can win in multiple ways against offensive tackles. He's not just like a one-trick pony who's only going to just run the hoop and that's it. That being said, I do think that there's a discussion that's got to be had about this guy, Ross, because he doesn't play on first down, and he really doesn't play too often on second downs either. He's a third down or designated pass down player only. You know, his first snap was 3rd and 5 on the opening drive. He jumped off sides in the play, but, you know, that's where most of his snaps are played, is third down and on passing downs. I'll be very interested to see at the end of the year how many first down reps he got over the course of the entire season. We talked about this a couple of years ago with Tim Williams out of Alabama. He ended up being a third-round pick. Now, Polite appears to be a better player than Williams. I haven't done the deep dive on him yet, but that's just the way he seems to me. And there are other questions there with Tim Williams. But when you're not a three-down player in college, there are going to be major questions about whether you can be that guy in the NFL, and that's going to affect your value and whether or not you can be a first-round pick. I love the flashes, and I love the highlights that I've seen of this kid rushing the passer. He did have an athletic tackle for loss against the run in this game where he kind of knifed into the backfield with that quick first step and made a play, but there will be questions about his ability to play at the point of attack if he does decide to declare early for this draft. You know, and then his teammate on the defensive line, Jabari Zuniga, this guy's a three-down player. I mean, he lines up inside and outside. He's a junior to watch. He had a nice sack in the game where he executed a really slick push-pull move on third down before getting Jake Bentley to the ground. The other guy defensively for Florida that stood out to me in this game was the junior safety, Chauncey Gardner-Washington. You know, he kind of set the tone early. Big hit in the opening kickoff against Debo Samuel inside the 20-yard line. That got the sideline and the crowd going into it. And it's great when your best players on defense are your best players on special teams. I think that's a great sign for this kid moving forward. He looks like he's pretty athletic. He's another guy that, since he's an underclassman, I probably won't get to him until he officially declares, if he declares. But they seem to trust him in man-to-man situations that, you know, against this Carolina receiving core. There were times where he was left man-to-man, it seemed, on Debo Samuel. So let's flip it over to the South Carolina side, because there are a few guys on that team, number one, that stood out to me in this game, and then number two, that I've actually gotten a chance to study for the first time or for the first time this season over the last few weeks. So, you know, we'll start with Debo, you know, and who I watched in this game, and I actually went back and watched a handful of games from earlier this season last week. And Ross, you remember how much I loved Debo last year, and I still do. I really like his talent and how he'll transition to the NFL. I mean, there aren't a lot of receivers that are built like him. He's built like a running back with the way he looks. He's got a really thick lower half, muscular arms, a huge butt. You can see with the way that he is after the catch, he's probably one of the best players in the draft, regardless of position, with the ball in his hands. And I think part of that is the way that he's built, his contact balance, his ability to run through arm tackles. You know, the one thing that does concern me a bit, you know, he had that injury a year ago, Ross, broke his leg. I think it was week 4 last year against Kentucky. And a couple of weeks ago on the Journey of the Draft podcast, actually, I had Mike Mayock on the show. We were talking about how scouts think that Debo didn't necessarily look as explosive coming back this year. And I have to say, you know, going back and watching, that I do agree, you know, especially early this season. I watched the Georgia game. You watched Kentucky. He didn't quite have that same amount of juice early in the down to just flat out run by people. You know, he's not overly tall. He's not overly long. So in order for him to be an outside receiver, he's got to either be a technician and as a route runner or have that explosive speed. And I'm not sure that he has that second part. He's not all the way there yet as a route runner either. There are flashes there, but he hasn't put it all together yet. I still really like Debo. I think he's a starting quality receiver in the NFL, but there are going to be some questions there. You know, on the other side, they've got Bryan Edwards, a true junior with impressive size. This is a big kid, thick, muscular frame. He looks effortless as a pass catcher. He runs pretty well. He's pretty fluid off the hoof. I'm excited to kind of dig deeper into his game. The other guy on offense I want to talk about is the left tackle, Dennis Daly. You know, he transferred from Georgia Military College heading into last season, took over that starting job pretty quickly, and he just never looked back. He's a big kid. He looks confident in his pass set. He's pretty stout. He's got a bubble butt. That strong base gives him some pop in the run game as well. Makes it tougher, you know, to move off his spot in pass protection. He is a little bit of a waistbender, though, Daly, and he does get caught lunging more than I'd like to see. He's one of those athletes, too, where the initial movement isn't bad. I think his feet are fine enough that he can get to the corner to protect against speed rushers, but the moment he has to execute a second move or react to the movement of an opponent, he's in trouble. You know, that's obviously an issue to play left tackle. Zach Bailey, the left guard next to Dale, he's just a rock solid player. A little bit of a limited athlete, but he's solid. I thought the center, Donnell Stanley, really stood out this game. He had a couple of really nice blocks on the perimeter. And then defensively, and this is the last guy in this game, I was really impressed with Javon Kinlaw, the junior nose tackle for the Gamecocks. You know, this kid's 6'6". He's 305 pounds. He's got arms like cranes and a thick barrel chest. I mean, he really looks the part. You know, when this kid locks his arms out, he can be really tough to move. He's got some pop to him. He forced Felipe Franks into a sack by collapsing the pocket in the first half. Had a couple of really nice plays at the line of scrimmage. He almost blocked a couple of kicks in this game as well. I haven't done my deep dive on Kinlaw, but he was pretty intriguing to watch in this game. I'm going to need a second to catch my breath here. But any thoughts on some of these guys? And you know, I don't know how many you've seen in person or going back to high school.
Well, the one guy that I will mention is Ja'Kai Polite. It's funny. A friend of mine is a professor at University of Missouri, and one of the kids in his class is the left tackle for Missouri, Yasir Durant, who he's a junior. He's from Imhotep, 6'7", 335. He's their left tackle. He's from Imhotep Charter, which people don't know. Fran would know, and I would know, but Imhotep Charter is a school in Philadelphia. He committed to San Diego State, went to Arizona Western Junior College for a semester, and then ended up at Missouri. Had a bunch of offers, decided to go to Missouri. And now he's starting to left tackle for Missouri. And I actually talked to him last week. He needed to talk to interview somebody for a job he was aspiring to for his career. That was part of the class. And so he's looking to be, you know, NFL offensive lineman. So I got a chance to talk to him right after Missouri won at Florida. And I asked him about Polite, and he said he got him one time on an inside spin move. He said he's real fast, he's pretty light, but he did get him one time on an inside spin move, and he was mad about that because obviously as an offensive tackle, you never want to get beat inside. But it was interesting to – I mean, this is, I think, maybe Tuesday or Thursday of last week, you know, just a few days after he had played against Florida and they had won down there. So – just kind of cool to talk to a kid who had just gone up against a guy in Polite that we talk about every week here, it seems like, on the show. What about anybody else? I know that there's a lot of buzz right now on Daniel Jones from Duke. What about what you've seen from him?
Yeah, you know, I'm excited to kind of dig deep into his tape. He's still a junior, so I probably won't until he declares, but the kid threw for almost 600 yards and four touchdowns this week against North Carolina. I know the Tar Heels aren't great this year. They've only got one win. But, you know, Jones is a big kid. I mean, he's 6'5". He's 220 pounds. He's coached by David Cutcliffe, which carries weight with a lot of people in the NFL. I am anxious to really study him and get a feel for the way that he plays the game. And then, you know, another game, obviously the big one, was Clemson, Boston College. And just watching this game on TV, Christian Wilkins really stood out. You know, made a number of plays flying around the field. He's really disruptive. He's got a really strong core. He's always up on his feet. Just a fun player. Still my favorite guy on that Clemson D-line. So let me ask you, you had the Penn State-Wisconsin game. What were some of your takeaways from that game?
Well, first of all, the quarterback for Wisconsin, Jack Cohn, really struggled. I know people don't love Hornibrook, but, man, He's better than Jack Cohn was that day. You know, it's interesting, Fran. You know the guy that I want to talk about the most from that game? And I will say this. I thought that the Wisconsin offensive line was a little disappointing. You know, Edwards got beat once. Ben Shaw, my guy at right guard, had a couple penalties. I think Dieter is actually the most consistent. Dieter is going to start his 52nd game on Saturday, which is a Wisconsin record. And he has started double-digit games, Fran, at center, guard, and tackle. That's incredible. Like that is incredible. And he is going to be a very valuable commodity. And I would look at him if I were an evaluator and think, first of all, I love the experience. I love the versatility. But also, how good could he be if you let him just do one thing?
Yeah.
You know, rather than moving him from center to tackle to guard and all around, that would be intriguing to me. But the name I want to give you, Fran, and I want you to keep an eye on, is number 99 for Penn State, Yetur Gross-Matos. So you know I do some local Penn State stuff. It's called the Keystone Sports Network. It's a Penn State football podcast. And so I watch every snap that Penn State plays. And he's their best player. Now, Sharif Miller had a good game, and he had a couple sacks. But Yetur Gross-Matos, now he's a true sophomore. Okay. And as you know, Fran, I actually evaluate all of the recruits every year as they come in. And he was probably the fourth or fifth most highly touted recruit in the 2017 class for Penn State. But I had him number one. Like, I don't go by stars. I don't care. I just watch and say, no, that guy's the best guy. He is their best player. He has, I want to say, like 17 and a half tackles for loss. He has, I think, 12 of those and maybe six sacks in the last three or four games. He is only a true sophomore. He's probably 6'5 and a half, 260, 265. They say he runs a 4.52. Like, I think he is going to be in the first round consideration when we talk about next year's draft. Okay. I think he's going to be talked about. I don't know if he's quite in the Bosa, Oliver, Rashawn Gary category for a year from now, but he's going to be talked about as a first-round pick. He is pretty clearly Penn State's best football player and best prospect. So next time you're watching a Penn State game live, because you're not going to study a kid that's a true sophomore, just watch 99, because he is – I mean, he's had a better year than Sharif Miller, who's – you know, some people think might even go day two. He's had a better year than him for sure. And maybe it's because, Fran, he is all in on Omax Cognitive Boost, baby. Cognitive Boost is the boost you need to get there. So it's funny because, like, the Barstool guys, they promote it mainly. They use it mainly for as a hangover cure, which is hilarious. But here's what you got, and there's more and more people that have tried this and really like it. It's got omega-3, so you guys are all familiar with omega-3, and it combines that with alpha-GPC, which is the key to faster neurotransmission. Here's my thing. I don't know a ton about stuff like this, right? Like, I don't think a lot of us do. But they give you 60% off, plus free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee if you go to omaxboost.com/draft today. So the key to me is the 60-day money-back guarantee, because then you get to try it. If you're like, this is not working for me, then you get the money, then you get the money back. Obviously, it works for enough people. Otherwise, everybody would just get their money back. omaxboost.com/draft. Terms and conditions do apply. As always, what about in terms of some news? Supposedly the Senior Bowl invites are going out. Bobby Petrino fired. Any thoughts there, Fran?
Yeah, well, the Jim Nagy, the executive director for the Senior Bowl, announced on Monday that the first round of invites, 60 invites, went out this week. So 30 on offense, 30 on defense. So my guess is if they went out Monday, they'll probably be in the school's hands by Wednesday, which means by Friday, we could start seeing some news come out, because some of these schools will start breaking it on their own social media accounts that these players got invited just as like a recruiting tool. So I would keep an eye out later this week, and we'll see if we start to see some of that news start to break. As far as the two coaches getting fired, we saw Petrino this week. We saw David Beatty from Kansas last week. Usually when we see these discussions midseason, the first thing we talk about from a draft standpoint is, all right, are there any underclassmen that could come out early because of the coaching change? With Louisville, there might be, but they're not on my radar. The only prospect right now I'm aware of for Louisville is Jalen Smith, the wide receiver, senior, big-bodied kid. I kind of see him as more of a backup at the next level. Kansas, I think they've got a little bit more talent this year. I think you look at Daniel Wise, a defensive tackle, as a senior. Joel Dineen, a senior linebacker. We know those guys are going to be in the draft. The only underclassman for Kansas that was kind of on my radar was the junior running back, Khalil Herbert. He's done some things over the last few weeks, but still not a guy I think that is, you know, has a lot of people really excited. So certainly something to watch moving forward. And then also another more big news from the Big Ten, Michigan State announced that LJ Scott is going to return for a sixth year. It seems like it's his 16th year, but he'll be back next year for the Spartans. So that's some big news there from the Big Ten.
Yeah, and that makes no sense to me whatsoever that a running back would go back for a sixth year, especially people think, I know he didn't play much this year.
Yeah.
But especially some people think he's like a top 100 pick. I don't understand that one from a business perspective, but maybe he just feels like he has unfinished business or just likes the college experience that much. Anybody else you've studied recently, Fran?
Yeah, so I got, let's go with my guy, Jalen Jelks, who, you know, I studied the, I think, four or five games last week. He's played a lot more on the edge this year after being mostly a line of scrimmage dweller as a junior and played mostly inside last year. So he's standing up off the edge in that 3-4 scheme. A couple of things really stood out to me. First, he's still a plus athlete, but I do like him more coming off the edge with his hand in the dirt instead of standing up. I think he looks a little bit more natural coming from that 3-point stance. That might just be a comfort thing right now as he's making the transition, but that's just where I like him best. Really sets a hard edge in the run game. I love the way he competes. He'll use that length well at the point of attack. I know that the sack production has not been there with Jelks, but he's long, he's violent, he's got a quick first step, he competes really high, at a really high level. The traits are all there to be a nice pass rusher, and I think he can be a primary pass rusher off the edge for an NFL team down the road. I still see a future starter, preferably in a 4-3 scheme. Reminds me, honestly, of a guy like Danelle Hunter, who, like Jelks, coming out of LSU, Hunter had tools, but he didn't have sack production. It took him a little bit of time to reach that ceiling. I liked Hunter a lot. More than, you know, where he was drafted. I think he was a third or fourth round pick. I liked him a little bit more than that. I think, and it took him some time to reach that point, but to me right now, I think Jelks has that kind of ceiling. You know, Hunter is one of the best pass rushers in the game right now. Maybe that's a little bit high, but I do like Jalen Jelks and what he can bring, even though this year has been a little bit of a transition year for him. And then one other guy I want to mention too, you know, Maryland's got a big game this week against Ohio State. So I thought I'd talk about Maryland running back Ty Johnson. A little bit undersized. He's a senior. He's 5'10". He's just over 200 pounds. I do think he finds a role in the NFL because, you know, he can offer some special teams value. He's a quality kick returner. He does a nice job in pass protection as well. I think he could be a dirty work kind of player on the back end of a depth chart at running back. Not a dynamic athlete, but I think that there's something there. I do like Johnson overall as a prospect.
All right, let's go head to head.
Head to head.
What are some of the big games, big matchups we got our eyes on, Fran?
Yeah, I just mentioned Ohio State and Maryland. There's a lot of conference games this week. Like you mentioned, we're starting to wind down here. So some of these teams are getting their bye week actions as well. But, you know, we've got Oregon, Arizona State. That's a big game out in the Pac-12. West Virginia, Oklahoma State, Clemson and Duke, Florida State, Boston College. There's some good games this week. So let's start with the quarterbacks and really the two big ones. You mentioned Daniel Jones earlier from Duke. Big test this week against Clemson and that defense. You know, it's going to be a little bit of a track meet. The true freshman quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, is slinging it right now for the Tigers. Excited to see those two guys kind of go head-to-head. Really, as Jones has kind of started to build all this buzz, you know, people are talking about him. He's on a national stage. This is honestly, I bet you that this is going to be one of the more watched games this week on TV because I think a lot of people will want to have eyes on Daniel Jones. This is going to be a prove-it match for him because, you know, you've got that defensive line. You've got some upperclassmen on the back seven as well for Clemson. This is going to be a big game here for Daniel Jones and that Duke offense. And then Oregon, they take on Arizona State. You know, Justin Herbert, another matchup for him. They got that 3-3-5 defense out there with the Sun Devils. How is he going to match up against some of those exotic looks? I'm interested to see how Herbert does in this game.
Running backs, linebackers.
One big one, you know, I mentioned that you're starting to see some of these bye weeks. You know, Georgia takes on UMass. And one of the big things with the bye weeks, everyone says, oh, you know, what are you going to see from the Georgia side? And, you know, what are they going to do? To me, the big thing to find is, all right, who are the biggest prospects on some of those smaller schools? And to me, you look at UMass, they've got a couple guys that are starting to get some buzz. And one of them is Marquise Young, the running back. Now, he's a senior. I studied him over the summer. I do think he's got some talent. Again, kind of more like Ty Johnson. I think he's probably more of like a back end of the roster type player for an NFL team. But good matchup this week against Georgia, that front seven. Natrez Patrick, the senior linebacker there for the Bulldogs, has some ability to play downhill. Really violent kid, a little bit undersized. But good matchup this week there for Marquise Young.
Speaking of good matchups, you can see all of the good matchups over at betonline.ag. When you use the code podcast1, you get a 50% welcome bonus. And I think I told you guys last week, maybe I didn't know by then, but I actually won the contest back-to-back weeks. think I might have been perfect back-to-back weeks with my picks. So go to Podcast One, or actually go to betonline.ag. Make sure you have an account, and then check out my tweets at Ross Tucker NFL, where I said, hey, I won the Bet Online Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge. Send me your account number, because Podcast One then goes through and they pick five people to credit their account with $100. So I don't get to pick it. They pick it randomly, I guess. I don't get to pick it, but it's a unique opportunity for you guys to get $100 credited into your account, especially if you already have an account. And if you don't, why not get one? Maybe you'll be the one of the ones that gets it. BetOnline.ag, promo code PODCAST1. How about some wide receivers, tight ends, DBs, friend?
Well, let's real quick go to that UMass-Georgia game. And one receiver that's starting to get buzzed because everybody's talking about him. Tony Pauline mentioned him on the Journey to the Draft podcast last week. I know Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network has been hyping him up. Dane Brugler, our buddy at The Athletic, has done some work on him. So Anthony Isabella from UMass going up against this Georgia defense. He's going to see some of DeAndre Baker, one of the top senior corners in the country. So good matchup there, good stage for Anthony Isabella. You go to the Big 12, Iowa State takes on Texas. Iowa State's going to be without David Montgomery to start this game, but the other guy for that offense, a lot of people are starting to hype up, is Hakeem Butler, the oversized wide receiver. He's a big-bodied kid, works inside and outside, has a little bit more juice, I think, than Alan Lazard did a year ago, who was a big-bodied kid from Iowa State. Butler is a guy that a lot of people are really excited about. He's really good with the ball in his hands. Going up against this Texas secondary, good matchup there with Christopher Boyd, the corner from Texas. I like Boyd, a little bit undersized, so I think that this could go a little bit more towards Butler, but interesting matchup for sure there in the Big 12. And then in the ACC, Florida State taking on Boston College. We talked a little bit about this kid, Nyquan Murray, the slot receiver for Florida State. This kid's got some juice. He's a twitched-up receiver, can line up inside and outside, work vertical, work in the intermediate area. He's got a pretty good idea of what he's doing as a route runner. Going up against this Boston College secondary, they've got two senior safeties there, and both those guys can work into the slot a little bit. So you may see this matchup as well as on vertical routes down the field. That's Lucas Dennis and Will Harris. So keep an eye on both of those guys going up against this Florida State offense.
All right, last but certainly not least, give me the big boys.
Yeah, Maryland taking on Ohio State. I like the left tackle for Maryland, Derwin Gray. He's a big-bodied kid, but I think he's got good enough feet to be a starter at the NFL level. I'm excited for you to kind of watch him as well in the future, Ross, because I think Derwin Gray's got some talent. Going up against this Ohio State defensive line, Chase Young, the true sophomore, has been really, really impressive over the course of this season with Nick Bosa on the shelf. So, looking at Derwin Gray, this is a really good opportunity for him, one of his final games of his career, to really show out against a top-flight opponent. Going back to Boston College versus versus Florida State, let's look about DeMarcus Christmas, that Florida State defensive tackle. They've got Brian Burns, the junior pass rusher, but don't forget about Christmas because, he's just a rock-solid player. I think he's got versatility to play both the nose shade and the three technique spot, so he's got some positional versatility. Going up against Boston College, that offensive line, they're well-coached, but Chris Lindstrom is the guy that has a lot of people really impressed. He's got some position versatility as well to play guard and tackle, just a big physical kid, uses his hands very well. And then on the other side of the ball, you look right in the trenches again. Zach Allen is a guy that we've talked about on this show. He's big, he's long, he's athletic. He can line up inside and outside. I do like him a little bit more on the inside moving forward, but good matchup this week against this Florida State O-line. Really, Derek Kelly was a guy that when watching other teams and watching other players in that Florida State offense over the summer, I kept seeing Kelly kind of flash to me, and I still haven't done my deep dive on him, but this would be a good matchup for him against Zach Allen. And when I do eventually get to Kelly, this will be one of the first games that I go to watch personally, and I know a lot of NFL teams will probably do the same because we know about Zach Allen and that Boston College defensive line. So good matchup there for Derek Kelly.
Highly encourage you to follow Fran on Twitter, at FDuffy3, so you can see all the stuff he posts, the All-22 stuff, the Eagle podcast, the Journey of the Draft podcast. The videos from the Eagles are always very informative. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL, Twitter and Instagram, and you guys know tomorrow is a huge day for us always. Wednesdays, RT Media. We've got Fantasy Feast podcast with Evan Silva, Even Money with Steve Fezzik, and of course, today on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, it is a Power Rankings Tuesday, so you can see exactly where your team stacks up. We'll let you know what happens this week, next week, and we will, of course, preview what's always a huge Week 13 rivalries, Thanksgiving, always one of the best weeks of the year for football in general and college football in particular. For right now, though, the keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chug, 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 chug.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.